Mauricio Mejia live. Entertainment guru, Silicon Valley entrepreneur, author, and speaker. It's Mauricio Mejia live. Bringing to you real people, real day-to-day life experiences, and real business opportunities. If you dare to step up. Do you have what it takes to take it to the next level and become who you are truly destined to become? Decide, commit, execute. Join the thousands of viewers around the world and become a part of the conversation. Mauricio Mejia Live.
Guys, welcome back to Mauricio Mejia Live, season 3, episode number 2. And what a way to kick off the new year, 2024. Can you believe it? We're already 3 weeks into the new year. And next week is going to be the final week already. Wow. Yeah. Time is flying. Today, I want to introduce a special guest. A special guest, partner, visionary, all of the above. When we connected through a mutual friend who is her husband, Mike Escobar, who is my nutrition coach right now, he says, hey, my wife does podcasts and all this, and all of a sudden I saw one of her productions and I said, who is this person? And I want to work with her. And that's how it all started. And last year, 2023, in December, we met finally for the first time. And we just started talking about this idea and we took action. And it's kind of part of what I talk about. I've written 2 books. One, Smoke and Mirrors, is about my life. My second book is a business mindset book, and we talk about decide, commit, execute. And really, it's making a decision, committing to your decision, and then executing, which is the most important part. And when we met and started talking, it just kind of, the vibes, the energy was there. And you shared about your podcast, and I liked what I was seeing. And it just came up. It's you know, when I see opportunity or when I think opportunity is there, I go for it. And that's part of who I am. And we created together, and we made a decision, which was crazy.
I know.
We talked about it on episode 1 with Kristen Andrus. December 13th, we made a decision. You came even with the proposal. Our meeting was on a Tuesday. It was Tuesday, December 13th.
Yep.
And 13 days later, I started getting things delivered to the office. I'm like, hey, by the way, we got some chairs delivered. The desk is coming. I mean, everything that you said that you were going to do, and those immediately took action. And now we have one of the most beautiful studios in downtown San Jose. We've called it Studio B.
Yes.
Studio B Production. So this is my business partner, Janine Escobar.
Hello.
And a future co-host on our next show. Eventually, we're going to create something here. But I think right now it's just talking about a little bit about you as well, because I want people to know out there that a couple of things. One, woman, business owner, entrepreneur, and there's certain things that you talk about even on your show that I think it's important for young women, older women, just women in general, and actually for men too. It might be important that men are listening.
Exactly.
I've listened to the stuff that you and your husband talk about. I'm like, damn. I'm like... sometimes those are those uncomfortable conversations, but they're needed.
Yeah.
They're needed to have have healthy relationships.
Yeah. So I have a podcast with my husband. Candidly with Coffee is the podcast. And it's basically nutrition, fitness, lifestyle. But we talk about everything. And we're both weight loss and fitness nutrition coaches. And so that's where a lot of the subject matter goes. But it kind of goes to everything. But yeah, so my husband is actually started working with you a few months back.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're now working. We're going into our 4th month.
Yeah, and working. He brought home your books.
Yes.
And he read the Decide, Commit, Execute book. And I loved it. So many of the things, because we would talk about the book all the time. Remember, he would read a little bit. We'd talk about it. And so many of the things in that book aligned so much with what I talk about on my podcast, with just everything. I've always been someone that says, you know, there's a lot of people who decide on things. They talk about things. They're talkers, but I need the executors, right? People need to execute. I prided myself on executing.
Yes.
You know, and so I loved that. And so before I ever knew you, I knew like we were in line in terms of our thinking.
Yes.
And so it kind of went from there. It was like instant as soon as we met. I think we talked about it like within 5 minutes.
I think that our work ethic is impeccable. And that's but... part of the reason why it's impeccable is because we want more in life, right?
Yeah.
And we want to do more in life, mm-hmm. right? So we I don't want to say we have a similar history, but we have a history where we've done a lot at a young age. I mean, for me, I started very young. I started young in the nightlife industry, and I got to experience life and a lot of great things in my life at a very young age. But that wasn't the pinnacles for me. I knew that they were stepping stones for where I wanted to be in my life. So I always wanted more. And I knew that my work ethic was always strong. And as I always, but I needed to learn as well. Mm-hmm. And I needed mentors in my life. So Decide, Commit, Execute came together because I was out rambling at the time when I had met Kristen and I had met Stedman Graham at the time. And they heard my speech, I guess, or what was coming out of me. And Kristen put it all together in a simple sentence. She says, Mauricio, you need to write a book on this. She says, what are your thoughts? And I said, or how is it that you're processing things in your mind? And I said, well, there's three things in my life. One, you got to make a decision. Once you make a decision, you have to commit to your decision. And most importantly is taking action, which is execute. And then that became the title of the book.
Yeah.
And then we just started to build off of it. And for me, it's important. And that's why I've surrounded myself around people that, one, know how to make decisions.
Right.
Two, they know how to commit to their decisions.
Right.
And three, they will execute. And part of the connection that I had with Mike was that I know Mike, and I've seen Mike is a completely transformed human being from where he was back then right. to where he's at today. Completely humanly, physically transformed. I mean, and for me, you can't come and try to sell or pitch me on something if you haven't done it yourself.
Exactly.
So for me, it was like, all right, this guy's onto something. And when we started to have the conversation, his approach toward me allowed me to let him get into my space and be honest with me because, man, I swear, I thought my shit didn't stink. I was like, I thought I was the hot shit. I wore black and in my mind, I was putting a lot of softeners and in filters in my sight and in my beliefs. That, you know, Mike is the one that caught it. There's this one guy posting on my social media putting, you know, dad bod.
Yeah.
And to me, I just sat like, just ignored it. But I think when Mike really put it into perspective and then really started to educate me on some of the basics of Mauricio, you can eat whatever you want to eat.
Yeah.
And, you know, but how serious do you want it? And then when he started to use my language against me.
Exactly. That's exactly yeah. it. Because it can be applied to anything.
That's right. So, and he used, hey, you got to decide, commit, execute, homie, like in your book.
Yeah.
And I think that to me, that is where he earned the highest respect in my book. Because for someone to call me out on my own shit. That was it, – it's only real people that – I mean, even my own friends that didn't call me out.
Right.
Now I'm 4 months into my journey. I started – I was 230 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
My last weigh-in was 206, 205. I'll take it as my lowest.
Yeah, but you
I'm,
hit a low.
I'm cruising right now in that 205 to 210, and I feel a lot better.
Right.
My energy's a lot better. People have complimented me, like, Mauricio, you've lost weight. You look fit.
Yeah.
My skin has cleared out a lot.
Yeah.
My energy has gone up. And part of and really the food that I love to eat, minus pizza.
Right. You can still eat.
I can eat tacos on mm-hmm. Taco Tuesday if I want to. I can eat a burger. I can eat fries. I can eat steak.
Yeah.
I can eat all the different foods. But if you understand how to eat it. And
exactly.
Then I get to have fun with it. Now, the other part to it is the drinking. You know, I've been doing this shit for, God, since I was a kid. My first drink when I was 16 years old, I had a Long Island iced tea.
Yeah.
47 years old. to kick that one out to the curb has it's not a challenge because I don't need it, but I like it.
Right.
I enjoy going out and having a cocktail yeah. with my friends.
Yeah.
The problem is that as COVID now that we're post-COVID, now I'm going out a little bit more frequently again. And, you know, I mean, when we go out and we spend, I mean, between literally in 1 week, we can go up to $1,000 in yeah. drinking because we don't drink, first of all, we don't drink cheap drinks. We're not drinking cheap bottles of wine. And that can add up quick. Four bottles in a week, that's
but not only money, but how the impact, the impact of how you feel, though. You don't realize it until you take it out.
Absolutely. So what I've done is I've cut back, I want to say that at least 85 to 90% of the drinking out of my system. And now when I do have a drink, it's one, two max.
And you feel it.
And I feel it. And then I also think in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to feel what it can do if I have that third, fourth,
right,
and fifth.
Right.
So now there's a boundary. I've created this like moral compass.
Yeah.
this boundary around myself where I don't want to be the guy at the table that says no, because I'm not peer pressured.
Right.
Again, the people that I enjoy having my drinks with, I enjoy it. And it just is what it is. But what I've noticed is that I don't feel bloated. My hands don't feel swollen. Mm-hmm. And my skin doesn't feel puffy. But again, I can still go out and enjoy myself and have a cocktail.
It's all about boundaries.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, we need boundaries. We need boundaries in every aspect of life. People don't realize that. They think like, that's dieting, or you're dieting, or you're doing this. Like, no. I'm just putting boundaries on myself, because without boundaries, we go reckless, okay? People are reckless without boundaries. If we didn't have a speed limit on the freeway, okay, we'd all be driving 120. It would not be a safe place, right? Yeah. There's boundaries and laws and things in place to keep us corralled a little bit. Yeah. That's the only thing that, like, being on a journey, a weight loss journey, or a lifestyle, healthy lifestyle journey, is just giving yourself some boundaries, but not restricting, not saying you can't have something, just monitoring how much you can have of something and just being a little more aware. And that's really the funny thing. The thing I think is the funniest is that the decide, commit, execute that you were applying to your business life as an entrepreneur, successful businessman, you now had to think like, oh shoot, like this has to apply to myself too.
Absolutely.
Or else, you know, am I being honest about, you know, deciding, committing, executing?
I was not being congruent.
Right.
And that's when Mike hit me he hit me hard, and he says, hey, Mauricio, it's like a business. He goes, are you going to lose money for your business, or are you going to make money for your business? He goes, your calories, if you go over your allotted, you're running the company to the ground. If you stay within... When he started to use those kind of analogies with me, then we can have a conversation.
Right.
I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on diets. I've done keto diets, protein diets. I've spent thousands of dollars on trainers, exercises, and all kinds. But I never had anyone just go simplify it to get it down to the basics.
Yeah. Because that's what it matters, is mastering the basics. And he spoke your language.
Yeah. I mean, And so for me, I told him, I said, this is the best amount of money that I've ever spent. Nothing that I have ever spent can give me what it's giving me now. One is giving me myself back.
Right.
I shared a picture with him where I had a friend of mine. We were at one of the Bellator fights, and I'm sitting front row. I'm speaking to a friend of mine, and my boy sends me a picture, and he says, got you. But he wasn't saying, like, got me, like he's shaming me. He's like, I got you, fool. Like you know, like, he found me, right? Like, I know where you're at. And he sent me this picture of me. And I'm going to send you this picture so that you can put it on the show.
Yeah, we'll put it up on the screen.
Yeah, I want that picture to reflect. And I'm going to have Mike send the picture, my golf picture, too, which is both around the same time.
Right.
And how bloated I was, and how... To me, honestly, when I saw that picture, it fucking ruined my night. because I had a cocktail in my hand. I was like on my number fifth rum and coke.
You were just having a good old time.
I was having a good old time. I was wearing I thought I was badass. I was all in black, you know. And I didn't realize how fucking disgusting I looked.
But I mean, good to have those.
Yeah, no, it was... My boy did me that favor.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't actually thanked him because that'll be another conversation. but it was that triggered.
Yeah.
That I needed
You're
to
like,
make
I
a change.
You're like, I need to do something.
I need to make a change. Mm-hmm. And then when Mike crossed paths with me, it was just, to me, everything happens for a reason. And now for me, it's a forever partnership relationship here because it's not just, oh, now I'm going to hit a goal. Because really, I don't have a set weight goal right now. I know what I'm comfortable in.
Right.
But if I get below it, I know now, because I'm also now learning that I can lose all this weight and be 185 pounds, but I can be 185 pounds of muscle versus being 185 pounds and not have any definition in my body. So that's the next phase, right, I'm learning. So for me, this journey is definitely taking me to places. And not only that, but the clarity as well.
Yeah.
And I know that I've done this because I've been here before in my life. I mean, I wasn't always overweight. I was in shape because I had certain things in my life that were happening and so forth. But I took my eye off of myself.
Yeah.
And I started telling myself, oh, I'll just work out harder. I'll just do more cardio.
And did you have yes men around you?
Yes.
Because did anyone say, hey, yo, like you're putting on some weight. Like, hey, you need to put it in check. Or
No. And that's honestly, for anyone that's out there watching as well, that it's within my circles and my friends, you did me a disservice by not being honest with me.
Right.
And I'm going to call everybody out. You know, yeah, I'm just calling you out. The guy that did it, that calls me out on my...
Dad bod?
He's a fucking asshole.
He's an asshole.
But I'm going to give it to him because he had the balls to say it.
Yeah.
And he said it like, he didn't give a fuck whether I told him to go fuck off or not. He didn't care.
No.
He just fucking, I think he enjoyed shaming me. So right now, one of the things that Mike and I are doing is we're doing silence.
Yeah.
We're going to get me there. And then the moment that we're going to come
out. You're going to unleash the dad bod.
We're going to
unleash. The real dad bod.
That's right. Because
I know that when Mike saw that, he was like so bothered by it. Yeah. He's like, I hope. I'm like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Those are the times when you can let that. You can either let it crush you.
Yeah.
Or you can let it light a fire under you.
Absolutely.
I like to let those kinds of things light a fire under me.
Yeah.
You know, and you have a moment.
Yeah.
You have a gut punch.
Yeah.
You know? But then you're like, no, watch this.
Right. You know? Well, you know, and again, going back to the reminders, right? Mauricio, you can be so successful and have this work ethic and, you know, hey, if you told me, hey, we're working on a real estate project right now, or hey, this business needs this, fuck, I'm all in.
Right.
And I even get lit up. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let's go. And at the same time, while I'm doing that, I'm stuffing my face, you know, drinking and I'm not realizing how much damage I'm actually doing to myself.
Right.
So for me, it was an awakening that said, "Hey, Mauricio, you're not getting any younger. You gotta preserve some years." Mm-hmm. And where I want to be at in my life, and I've shared it with others, I want to be part of the billionaires club.
Right.
You know, I've hit records in my life that I feel that are, man, like, wow. For my age and for the things that I've done, for my background to be to hit the pinnacles that I have.
Yeah, for sure.
It's something that I'm very proud of. And I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping. And the only thing, as I tell people, is that I've gotten smarter. I've gotten to surround myself around others that of like mind.
Mm-hmm.
This whole production, everything that we're doing here, this is because of like minds, right?
Right.
We want to become, we're talking about it. Studio B is going to be the number one podcast studio in Silicon Valley. And if people are listening, they understand the words. If they're listening, this podcast studio, this production is going to be the number one podcast studio in Silicon Valley. We don't need to become the whole world. We are already in the global destination.
Exactly.
But in Silicon Valley, downtown San Jose, we are going to become number one. People say, how do you come up with that? Well, because we said so.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're going to thrive to work for in our production, in our work ethic, in our quality of work. And that's what we're going to provide to the people that want to align themselves.
Exactly. So like the decision has been made.
Right. Oh, 100%.
Then we've committed to the decision and now we're executing.
Yes.
Like I said, I cannot say enough. Even before I ever met you, I must have used the decide, commit, execute from your book multiple times on my show when just talking to Mike about it, because to me it's, you can apply it to anything in your life. And that's what we did. I remember he came home one day. After, I don't know, he had met you here at the gym and he said, my client wants to meet you. I'm like, why does he want to meet me? I want to meet your client. And he would say that, like, my client wants to meet you. I'm like, why? Yeah. Why does he want to meet me? Like, you know, I'll
tell you the truth. Like, because, you know, he referred to like, oh, my wife said this, my wife said that. So I started thinking, I'm like, bro, like my boy, like my boy, I wanted to ask Mike, do you need to ask your wife for permission?
Oh my God, no.
No, I'm just, I'm so.
Right.
So part of it was, one is I'm fucking around with him, but at the same time, I know Mike.
Right.
And Mike and I go back 20 plus years.
Yeah.
We go back to, I mean, early San Francisco days,
yeah.
Sound Factory days, mm-hmm. Club Envy days. I know the circle that he hung around with. He knows the circles that I hung mm-hmm. around with. I mean, it was Vegas time.
Right, right.
All the time.
Right. Party time.
It was party yeah. time all mm-hmm. the time. And for me to see a transformation in him, I needed to know who's
gotcha.
Behind,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there has to be something
yeah.
or someone
mm-hmm.
behind it, right? Mm-hmm. There has to be some pain or something of a support
right.
behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was impressed. And then when I started watching his videos, I was like, yo, what the fuck?
Who's doing your
Who's
videos?
Doing these videos here? I'm like, I need to meet this person, right? I need to. And at the same time, again, it just kept going back to like, yo, my wife this, my wife that. I'm like, bro, yeah. I need to meet because if we're going to do.
Yeah.
And that was the other part. Yeah. I wanted to do business.
Right.
In business, if there's people that are married or have a significant other.
That's huge. They're part of the package.
That's
they really
right.
are.
That's mm-hmm. right. And I've been in situations mm-hmm. and where if you get along with one but not the other and you don't build that alliance.
Right.
Then you have a battle sooner than later. Sooner or later, there's going to be a battle. Why? Because at the end of the night, pillow talk will overpower anything else.
100%. That's 100%. That's the truth.
Hey, I'm not the one doing the certain things that the other, you know, just
right.
those intimate moments
yeah.
will always overpower.
For sure, 100%.
So for me, as we started to talk about building, because we started talking about building a business.
Yeah, like personal development
yeah,
and things like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wanted to see how can I help him in his business.
Right.
Because what he's doing, it's not something new.
Right.
It's just nobody's doing it here.
Right.
And that's the big difference is
right.
that and if we can help each other out
right.
and tap into our networks,
mm-hmm.
we can build something that could be very successful and very
right.
financially lucrative.
Yeah.
I'm always going to look at things from a business standpoint
mm-hmm.
because everything comes down to, again, three things: time, energy, and what does it equate to? Money, financial
mm-hmm.
return, you
right.
know, something. There's got to be something of it. So the time he's investing in me and the energy has to return with some kind of compensation.
Right.
Same thing with me. It's like, okay, well, you can teach me nutrition, but I can teach you business.
Right.
So it works hand in hand.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Same thing here.
Yeah.
And that's why, again, it just felt so natural as we connected. And
right.
then
that's the interesting thing, because it felt natural very quickly. And I want you to know that doesn't happen with me very often. I don't connect with people very easily. I'm that anti small talk. I usually don't talk to people I don't know. It's just I know Mike has described me as an introvert before. It's not really accurate. It's not necessarily that I'm an introvert, but I'm somewhat of a closed off person.
Wow.
And so it's not common for me to click with someone in such a way so rapidly as we did in our first conversation.
Yeah.
And we had a quick conversation. You asked me about my podcast, about the production of it. And then I mentioned like, oh, you know what? I'm out of my home, but I'd like to do a studio someday, maybe rent it out. And you said, let's do it.
Yeah.
It literally within 5 minutes, our first conversation. And I was like, what do you mean? Let's do it. You're like, well, let's do it here. I got
yeah.
some spots. You showed me around.
Yeah.
And then when we walked into this room, my brain started firing
yeah,
off.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. I
yeah.
think that's what I said.
Yeah.
Like, it was going to just, and then my brain just went off.
I give it to you. You know, again, I can only take credit when credit is due, but I got to give it to when it's due. And this creation that we have here, Studio B, came together because of your vision and because of your experience in doing this. And I just kind of gave you some of my ideas
yeah.
of what I wanted to do. And like I said, you took action. You took action on an opportunity that you saw.
Right.
Because this thing has been empty like this for many years. And it's just timing.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why we're here.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the directions we're going. And nothing's going to stop us. Not
right.
even the haters.
Yeah,
not even the haters.
Not even the haters fuel. They fuel the fire.
We knew right away some of them started popping up, right?
Yeah,
again,
yeah.
you know, and we knew right away that we needed to quiet all of those noises. Why? Mike said it perfectly. He goes, once people start to come together, we start going at different frequencies mm-hmm. again. We start getting higher frequencies.
Right.
We start doing things at higher levels. One helps the other out. I've talked about this in the past, the crabs in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we understand what our roles are and where we're going to be and we
right.
quiet all those noises, I got a history, you got a history.
Yep.
Everyone's got a history,
everybody
right?
does.
And then we have people that like us and love us, and then we have people that just, for some reason, they just seething just to see us fail.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I actually like them because they're a fuel to,
right.
they're rocket fuel to us.
That's what I said. And
yeah.
you know what? You are doing something right if you have haters. That's just the way it goes. It's just human nature.
Yeah.
If you don't have haters, you don't have, you're a little too quiet still. You're not,
yeah.
you're not really like
you're
singing
not
loud
noise.
Enough. Right. You're not making noise. And so I'm like, okay, you know,
yeah.
it's just kind of like a watch this. On my podcast, Candidly with Coffee, I call it Hold My Coffee. It's
yes.
like, hold my coffee.
Yeah. yeah
hold
yeah,
my
yeah.
coffee. Watch this.
Yeah, and so we've made it a point that we're going to build something amazing for both of our shows.
Right.
And not only that, but to offer this out to other people. But again, I'm looking forward to building Mauricio Mejia Live this year, season 3. I got a lot of great guests that I want to bring on board, and we're going to have fun with this. I mean, for me, this is, you know, I want to be able to talk about my businesses. You know, I got Punch King Fitness, I got California Labor Exchange, I got my real estate development.
Right.
And the real estate development this year, we're breaking ground on some of the developments. I'm working with a group right now that has $5 billion worth of development investments in the downtown core. We're hyper-focused. So, again, the associations that I'm being exposed to right,
right.
now and the opportunities that are coming, we're working on a speakeasy. I'm working with a restaurant group. I mean, we're building the podcast studio.
Yeah, tons.
It is nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
So content, we're always going to be able to create. We're going to have some amazing people that are going to come through here. They're going to share these walls with us, and we're going to have some great conversations with. So for me, this is only the beginning.
Oh yeah,
you know, and all the celebrities, all the people that we're, you know, that we're going to do events with, and all the good stuff. So for me, this couldn't have happened at a better time.
Mm-hmm.
The 2024 for me is my year. I'm owning it. It's the year of the dragon. It's, you know, it just, there's a lot of great things that are going to happen. But they all start with me taking ownership, making decisions, committing to my decisions, and then executing.
So, that's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Studio B is all about execution.
I love it.
I
love
know.
It. So you know, kind of some of the things that, you know, you've done in the past, too. I mean, we want to talk about entrepreneurship here. I mean, Share with us some of the things that you're working on and doing, you know.
Well, I have my coaching business.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of aspects of that business. I love it. My coaching business, I'd like to say I'm a weight loss coach, but it's so much more than that. It's really like mastering your body and your mind, mastering your mindset and master your body. And
I've seen some pictures of you in the past. You know, I think you had blonde hair at one point.
Yeah,
too.
So I had a weight loss journey many years ago. 26 years ago, I lost 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And so
you caught my attention on that one too.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way you said it, I walked off 100 pounds.
Yeah.
So now you got me walking downstairs in my office.
And I do. I have him walking. He's on a walking pad.
We're gonna have to put a clip in that one, too.
He does. Because I did, though. Because I didn't have resources back then. Listen, there was no internet. Okay? There was, like, dial-up AOL if you could afford it.
No.
And I had 100 pounds to lose. And I didn't know anything other than walking. And I counted my calories. And so that has, you know, ever since I had that journey and then I was able to maintain it, I always just kind of expanded my knowledge on how to maintain my weight loss, how to, you know, and then 13 years ago, I actually did was it 13 years ago now? Maybe 14. I did a fitness competition because that was just a goal of mine, like to go from being 220 pounds at one point.
Wow.
And the thought of, I remember telling myself I'll never wear shorts again, to step on stage in front of hundreds of people in a bikini was just like a full circle moment for me. But it wasn't, after that journey is when I kind of really got into the nutrition, fitness, healthy lifestyle stuff. And I used to work in corporate, boring stuff, you know, in accounting and finance. I worked for Netflix and Shutterfly, some very, you know, popular companies. But I learned a lot about business working in corporate.
Yeah.
It's like I went to the school of Netflix, I like to say. Like, I learned a lot about business and from there, but I also learned that I didn't want to have a boss.
Yeah. Yeah, that turns my stomach.
Yeah, just like to have to like request vacation, like send an email, like, can I have a day off? Like, I can't even believe it. I'd rather work 20 hours a day and not have to do that than work 8-10 hours a day for a boss. So I built this business. It's my coaching business like 7 years ago. And I love it, though. So it doesn't really feel like work because I love what I do. I love changing lives. And my biggest goal now is just reach. I want to reach more people, not just in my bubble. I want to reach. And through the podcast, I've really been able to expand my reach. And that's why podcasting is so amazing. I think anybody that has a business of any sort needs to have a podcast.
That's a highlight right there. If you have a business, you need to have a...
You need to have your own, because the podcast feeds your business and you reach so many more people. And I think that's why I love what we're doing here in Studio B, because more and more people are realizing that. They're realizing, like, if I don't have a podcast, I'm behind a little bit because... Yeah. You really need it. I think people just think like, oh, entertainment purposes or whatnot. No, there's so many reasons to have a podcast. It really does. It's a perfect partnership to your business or companion to your business.
Yeah.
And that's why I love what we're doing here.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree even further. And just it works hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Like I said, this now has opened up doors for me to reach out to. It's unlimited.
Right.
I mean, from the coaches that I'm going to bring from my gym, from Punch King Fitness, we got Elite Pro, we got Warcat, we got all these great humans that are coming through that we can actually interview.
Right.
From my staffing business, again, from the real estate development side, from the people that, you know, from the block parties that I got coming this year, 2024, we got 8 block parties lined up with artists. All those artists are going to, I'm going to schedule them to do a podcast.
Yeah, because think about it. Otherwise, how is that information getting out to people?
Right.
How are they hearing about it?
Yeah.
You know, they're not podcasting gives the opportunity for people to like eavesdrop on your conversations of like getting these people out that you have so many connections and so much interaction with some cool people. But how are you able to share it unless you're podcasting?
You know, and partly it's, I'm just that guy that doesn't brag about it.
Right.
Even when I was in the nightlife industry for 25 plus years, all the superstars that came through my place, all the artists, all of these great people that came through my venue, I never was starstruck.
Right.
So, and at the time, we didn't have the technology that we do now. Right.
Social media,
mm-hmm. camera. I mean, the cameras were the photographers that were coming in.
Right, no cell phone cameras.
I mean, I had the best of the phones. I had the BlackBerry. I had the Palm Pilot. Yeah. I mean, I had the Nokia Flip. I mean, I had them all, but none of them had the phone in it. And believe it or not, the only guy that I got starstruck on was Manolo from Scarface.
Oh, my God. Do you have any evidence of this?
I do have a pic. That's the only guy I took a picture of, and we'll put that in.
Yeah.
Manolo from Scarface. And again, it's just crazy mindset, right? Mm-hmm. Out of all Black Eyed Peas, Madonna, U2, we had Cedric the Entertainer, Jamie Foxx. I mean, we've had from the Dallas Cowboys, the 49ers, the Raiders. Everybody came in through the vault. It was the who's out of all the people that came through the place. The only person I really wanted to take a picture was Manolo. Because I felt that I wanted to be Scarfy.
Oh my goodness. The boss man over here.
I wanted to be Scarface with one of the most iconic movies of all time, Scarface.
Of course.
I mean, of course he got killed and blah blah blah. Yeah. But he still was the cool guy. He was the cool character. But it's just crazy, right? I mean, I go now and I think about it. I'm like, okay, this is going to give us the platform now to really be able to share
with
the world here in San Jose, here in Silicon Valley, Studio B, what we're creating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be forever. It's going to live on platforms that forever and ever and ever and whatever. I don't
even. Yeah. And it can reach so many people. Yeah. Think about it. Beyond San Jose.
Yeah.
I mean, just beyond. Yeah. I have listeners all over the world.
Nice.
So it's very cool.
That's you know, how I felt in my first two seasons of Mauricio Mejia Live, right? Everybody was quarantined.
Right.
So what else could I do other than to go through my Rolodex, through my contacts.
Through your little black book.
I was like, right? I would call and set up, because what else, what the hell I was going to do?
Yeah.
So I had a lot of time on my hand.
That was smart.
And I did 60 episodes, 30 episodes, 30 per season. And imagine it took a lot of work. I mean, just doing what we're doing right now. Yeah. It takes a lot of time and energy. And I call it my ratings because everybody was at home. So when I went live,
right. Your ratings were good.
My ratings were good. I was like, yes, my live ratings, right? Not the view, right. not the repeat view.
While you were live,
right?
Yeah.
While I was live, my ratings were great. I loved them. They was so motivating to me to keep going.
Yeah,
you know, right?
For sure.
And I can interact with the people.
Yeah.
Season two, oh man, I was like, we got into production. Yeah. I started doing promos. I started doing sweepers.
Mm-hmm.
I started really, I started a second show called Oye, which is Open Your Eyes. I had Chewy Gomez. I had Efren Cifuentes and myself. We did a trio.
Oh, how cool.
And we got to bring guests like George Lopez, Lisa.
Oh yeah, I watched some of those episodes.
So we got to bring some cool people on there and we did the pilot program. And again, ratings were great. And then
everyone went back to work.
Then when they started kind of like letting people go out to eat or to go out again, I was like, shit, my ratings are going down. So, because people were no longer stuck at home.
Right.
So, but I got to enjoy it. And then I took a year off and then now we're back. Why? Because the podcast movement.
Yeah.
It's real.
It is.
It's real. Mm-hmm. And it got more reinforced to me 2 weeks ago when I was at the Aspire Tour here in Silicon Valley. And Gary Vee came up and really reinforced the importance of being on all the social media platforms, podcasting, and being able to promote something.
Right.
You got to be involved in something.
Right.
If you are stuck in a 9-to-5 job, and that's your mindset, you're stuck.
Yeah.
If you want to grow and elevate to something else, you gotta, there's so much hours in a day that if you compartmentalize it, if you utilize it, just kind of like our diet, right?
100%.
You gotta, if you use your hours in the day properly, you'll have extra hours to do other things.
Right.
You either go plop your ass on the couch and watch fucking 3-4 hours of TV a day, and if you multiply that by 5 or 6 or 7, you see how many hours you just wasted on top of sleeping, right?
Yeah.
And we all need to sleep.
Right.
But you start realizing, like, holy shit. So that's why for me, ever since I was a child, I've never had a job other than my own job,
meaning
working for my own companies. Thinking of having a job just turns my stomach.
Yeah.
Having someone to ask or to tell me what I need to do with my time.
Because you have a boss mindset. But some people, they have that employee mindset, though.
Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay because not everybody can be a boss.
Right.
And the people that have tried and, you know, that have tried and then figured out, you know, hey, I'd rather, at least they tried and then they figured out, I'd rather go work than to have the stomach to be responsible for the responsibilities that
come.
It
might not be for everyone, but I also want to say, though, that a lot of people think it's too late for them, though. It's not too late, okay? I switched my career completely
at
40.
Yeah.
I started my coaching business almost 8 years ago. I'm going to be 48 next week. And a lot of people
would
think,
you're the dragon,
like,
baby.
Yeah,
yes.
1976, baby.
Centennial year.
Yeah, but a lot of people would say, like, they think, like, at this point, like, well, whatever I've selected as my path is my path. No. Like, you still have a lot of life to live. And if you focus on your health journey as well, then you have even that much more good years left.
That's right.
You know, I feel like I'm in the best part of my life. Now, when I turn 40... it's been some of the best years of my life after 40.
Yeah.
You know, so it's never too late either, especially in this day and age. Like you said, with time management, maybe you're doing a 9-to-5, but be strategic with your time and decide what you want to aspire to do instead and dedicate some time daily.
That's right.
To working on that. You'd be shocked. And, you know, I hate when I hear people say, I don't have time.
Oof.
It bothers me.
Look, my hair is just
because you do have time. Okay, you're not Beyonce. Okay, you have time.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of, you know what I've said before to, like, my clients or someone who says, "Oh, I don't have time to work out. I don't have time." I'm like, "Let me see your phone."
Yeah,
like, let me see, where are you spending your time? How much time are you spending on social media?
Yeah,
okay, because you do have time for things that are important to you.
That's right.
So you have to ask yourself, is it important to you?
That's right. My 40s have been amazing. I love celebrating my birthday. Like, to me, it gives me the opportunity to bring people, to bring groups together. This year, my 48th birthday, it's going to be off the hook because I want to celebrate it.
How
you
exciting.
Know, so, and we're going to do it here, Studio B. We're going to, that's going to be another way of me exposing what we're doing, right? Why? Because I don't need to go to the restaurants. I'm going to have it privately catered. I want people to come and see what we built.
That's going
to
be fun.
And for me, I go back to my work ethic. What's important to me? And I hit that $1 million mark at a young age, 25, made my first million. I talk about it. 28, multimillionaire. You know, went from Ferrari to Ford Focus when I lost it all.
Right.
Rebuilt it. In 2014, I got a break. 2014 to 2019, in 5 years, I got to $100 million. 2020 was supposed to be my billionaire breakout year, my unicorn year.
Boom.
And Latin Life was a company that we were building. It was a Latino media company. It was working. We were the largest Latino promoter across the United States with all the biggest Latino groups across the United States. We were partnered with all the big groups, AEG, Nederlander, Live Nation, Golden
Boy.
Everybody knew to use our platform. And it was event driven. We had filled out our forms in early 2020, February of 2020, to go get our SEC approval so that we can go public. And that was going to take a process. So June, July of 2020.
Oh, man, that is a killer.
And I talk about it, right? I share about how crazy one of my partners, the founder, was, is that we were talking about yachts. And I remember showing him some beautiful yachts. And he upped me and saying, no, Mauricio, we need a yacht with a helicopter landing pad. And I was like, whoa, bro, now you're taking it to a whole different level. Like,
man. The
guests, the celebrities, the people that we knew, that I mean— we were talking about Enrique Iglesias, Ricky Martin, Pitbull, like
all the
Latin superstars that we were going to do this big grand of a party, and just again, COVID happened. I share this with people because I can taste it. I've seen it. I've seen numbers. Those numbers don't make me afraid. People say, well, yeah, what are you going to do with all that? To me, it was going to be something that. One, it allows me to make a bigger impact and give back to the community and give back globally, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can only have so much steak and lobsters. You can only drive one.
Yeah, you're right.
There's so much in excess, right? I mean, we kind of lost our minds because you got to keep dreaming big, right?
Yeah,
you got to feel the excitement because some of that, you know, even when I look at it now and I look back, I'm like, fuck, nobody knows what it costs to maintain a Ferrari, to maintain a jet,
to maintain
a yacht.
Terrible.
I mean,
you
know, I'm guilty of it because I know that every time we took out my boat, it's easily $2,000 just for a couple hours just to fuel the damn boat.
Yeah.
That's not including the drinks, the hosting, the, you know, paying
attention.
It's
a big undertaking, but it sounded good.
It was a lot of fun, right? And then at the end of the night, everybody leaves, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like you're stuck then. Cleaning the boat, making sure that everything is back in order. But again, those are the fun perks. What we have to do is become responsible with the continual effects of what we want.
You know,
I want it to be tied to a positive message. How can we help build schools or help our communities, educate our community? And I say all communities, even though I do want to focus on the Latino community, but everybody's important.
Right.
We're all one, right?
Yeah.
So that was the motivational part. I mean, Latin Life was about all Latinos from, it didn't matter what origin of Latino, we were representing the Latino globally. So crazy, right?
That was a blow, though.
It was.
But you know what, though? It didn't break you because here you are.
No.
That would have broken a lot of people, though.
Yeah.
You have to be resilient because, you know, in any journey like that, no matter what it is, again, you're in the business world, I'm in the healthy lifestyle world, in any journey, it's not linear.
No.
It's always up and down, and you have to learn how to navigate those roadblocks.
Yeah, you have to be ready for the unknown.
Yeah.
Right? And one of the things that I'm studying now and that I'm working with a group is quantum thinking. And that's a whole different, it's like, it is what it is. And right now it's happening because it's supposed to be happening, right?
That whole thing, I think we need an episode just on that. Because just the 5-minute conversation I had with you on quantum thinking had my mind kind of like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, it starts to fire off parts of your brain that you're just not used to because we're so conditioned to think, we're conditioned to think linear.
Yeah.
Right. But as entrepreneurs, we know that it's like this. It's up and down, peaks and valleys. Right. When you start thinking quantum, it's just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like it's multidimensional.
Right.
And it's just the mind exercise that it comes along, what it does to you, it just makes you think that all things are possible.
Right.
And that's what really motivates me is that I don't allow anything to scare me off. Nothing is impossible.
Right.
Again, this podcast studio, it a month ago, this thing didn't even exist.
Exactly.
And now we're a month in and
we're sitting here having a conversation.
We're sitting here.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And we're creating.
Yeah.
And that's the other beautiful part is that we're actually creating. And that to me, there is no words that can explain that.
Right.
The fulfillment. The impacts that we're going to have on people.
Yeah.
People that are watching something that you've said, I've said is going to trigger positive or negative.
Yeah.
Right. And again, what we want to do is just share our stories with others and continue.
Yeah, inspire.
That's right. And be positive. Right. Because right now, and that was the other thing Gary Vee really instilled is right now, there's so much fucking negative out there. People are drawn to it because the sensationalism, right? There's something that it does, the endorphins that it kicks in. Mm-hmm. But in reality, humanity right now needs to really focus on giving health, on being kind to people.
Yeah.
It just needs to come differently, especially like I shared in episode one, is that this is going to be one of the most turbulent years if we allow it to be, if we allow the noise to get in our head.
Mm-hmm.
Got one of the most craziest political races that are going to happen in history.
Mm-hmm.
You got an economic uncertainty right now. So, and people, you know, right now, nobody's rushing back to get to offices to work. The world is just, it is really liquid right now,
right.
Real fluid.
Yeah.
So I think right now what we're doing as we're, you know, people that have had experience in life, we're just calm down, take it easy, take a breather, quiet that noise. Let's use some of that experience and let's move forward. Let's create positive content. Let's be kind to others. You know, there was a post that I put up by Gary Vee too, just saying that the amount of energy that we spend on negativity or the people spend, because I try to stay away from all that noise. It actually, I can feel the energy when it eats up at my stomach and my core when negative energy is just around.
That's so funny. I'm very receptive to it. Also, I can feel it.
Yeah,
and I don't like it.
No, it's not a good feeling, and I want to steer far, far away from it because I'd rather be building and creating than to focus on all that because that's just who we are. We're creators.
I like to focus on things I can control.
Yeah.
If I cannot control something, then it doesn't deserve any of my energy because it doesn't matter because I cannot control. I cannot control the outcome. I can't control how other people think or feel. But if I focus my energy on the things I can control, then that's energy well spent.
Yeah.
Right?
You know you can't control everything, right?
No. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, And that's a whole different, that's another quantum talk right
exactly.
there.
Exactly, you can't. You can't, so you have to let those things be sometimes,
right?
You have to, because if then you're going to waste energy if you can't control it.
Yeah, so.
I know I did a whole episode on my podcast once on quantum manifestation.
Ooh.
And that was really, really crazy stuff. I feel like, I kid you not, I manifested this studio.
Yeah. You did 100%.
It was a manifestation.
100%. So my friend that started talking about quantum thinking for me hits me up and he says, "Hey Mauricio," he goes, "I want you to be a part of this team that we're gonna build. It's a bunch of quantum thinkers." And I said, "Quantum thinkers?" I was like, "Fuck, all right.
Weirdos."
I'm like, "Yeah, like you're talking another like alien language."
Yeah.
To me. And he started saying something, and I said, "You know, Edgar," I go, his name is Edgar Miranda, good friend of mine, 20 plus years down in Southern California. He says, I shared with him. I said, you know what's crazy? I said, I opened up one gym and now we have five gyms, Punch King Fitness. We got two in San Francisco, headquartered here in San Jose, is our mecca. Mm-hmm. And we've opened one in New Jersey. We're opening up one in Philadelphia. And we're building, literally building right now, one of the largest studios in Vietnam.
It's crazy.
We're partnered with the Boxing Federation of Vietnam. We got a great partner out there. And he goes, that's what I'm talking about. He goes, how did you do it? I said, you know, Edgar, I don't know. I don't know how I did it. He goes, that's quantum thinking. And I said, whoa, whoa. Like, he says, it is what it is, and it's already happening without you.
That's so crazy.
And that's when that whole weekend it really fucked my brain up, because I was like, fuck, it's crazy. Because right now, the real estate development team that I'm working with, multi-billion-dollar fund, I'm manifesting being involved with billionaires and being involved in billion-dollar developments and all this other good stuff. And things that are just going to surround me around that mindset. And it's crazy. Just what I'm manifesting in the direction that I'm going. And it kind of goes back to that saying that sounds like a cliche, but it gets lonely at the top.
Yeah.
Well, it gets lonely at the top because you're not used to the big entourages anymore.
Yeah.
But the people that you're with at the top, or the people that you start to surround yourself with, are of like minds, and they're all thinking, how do we continue to climb?
Right.
And at the same time, what we climb and we leave behind is what impacts are we making?
Right.
Right.
Hopefully, because positive impacts.
Absolutely. Yes. Positive impacts. And hopefully they will continue to climb up. So everyone, the goal is to help everyone climb up. Right.
Right.
I mean, everyone starts to say this, you know, they start bashing on the corporations and on big companies because they're just thriving and that, you know, and so forth. But if there wasn't these big companies or organizations, there would be no jobs.
Right.
There would be no platforms. So it's just interesting, the trickle effects, right? But you get that mindset that doesn't think outside of their own space.
Right. For sure.
I don't know. We can go crazy on this conversation.
So. But that's crazy, though. It's for sure. I'm a firm believer in the manifestation because I've seen it so many times in my life. But with this particular situation with Studio B, it happened very quickly.
We didn't even have a name for it.
No.
It was crazy. And then you're like, what are we going to call it?
And you said that. And then we're like, that's it.
Yeah. I said Studio B. And you're like, what's Studio B? And I'm like, well, in the industry, in the radio world, Studio B was always the cool where the DJs would go. There's always the main room, the main studio.
Yeah.
And then Studio B. And then
Studio
B would be where the DJs or the music or the production was. So where are you going to be? Studio B. So
I love it.
So to me, and then it just falls into play.
Yeah.
You know, we're on Bassett Street. There's so many cool things that just came into line. And I'm like, fuck, Studio B. And then you came up with Studio B Productions. I was like, oh, damn.
I love it because I love the fact that we could have, you know, we already have two Studio B Productions. We have Mauricio Mejia Live. Yeah. We have Candidly with Coffee. And hopefully, you know, other people who have a vision for their podcast. And we can help them to kind of put them in the right direction. Because, you know, like I figured this out on my own barely. I like to say, actually, a client of mine said this and I loved it. And she said, I get it. You're telling me I need to take messy action.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, that's such a way to put it, because you don't always have everything all figured out. No. But it's take messy action. So Studio B is for us to help people take messy action.
That's right.
You know, start a podcast. I don't know what I'm doing. Just get in here. And we have a lot of the things that you won't have to worry about.
Right.
Here. And then you can take action.
Plug and play, baby. Plug and play.
That's what we're here for.
It's not cheap either.
No. But it's like a chameleon, okay? Because my show is done here in Studio B, and it doesn't look anything like what we're sitting in now.
Yeah, no, we flipped the script in here. We're not done yet, because we still got two other sets.
Yes.
And those shows are going to be developed. You know, eventually I can't wait to have my mirror ball in here, because we're going to have those smoke and mirror nights where we're going to be able to talk about things. I know that one of the shows that I want to create is a Latino show that's going to showcase Latino artists. I'm working. I have a few people in mind of who I want to come in as the subject matter experts.
Nice.
If we do that, well, again, we'll be tapping into another market.
Right.
So for us is, how much can this little space have an influence and an impact?
lot
in the world. So
it's going to be huge. It's
anyway,
going to be huge.
We're gonna keep it going. Yeah. Mauricio Mejia Live, season 3. I want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for, one, being a great human being. Number two, your vision and your work ethic is impeccable. I love it. And number three is, like, I don't know if I haven't shared this, but you're one of the greatest partners that I've had, because everything that you said, you've delivered.
Wow, thank
you. And that, to me, says a lot. And those are the kind of people that I want to surround myself around with, period, moving forward. Lastly, too, I love your honesty. Oh. That to me, honesty is, it's important. In your bluntness and the way that you say it in a manner that it makes an impact and it grains in your mind and you really think about it. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. I think that,
you know, Mike's very lucky to have you in his life. Both of you guys are, because I can see it, the yin and the yang there.
We're for sure, yin and yang.
The yin and yang. And it's great to see that we're not, this is only the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't even scratched the surface.
I can't wait till we refer back to this episode.
Yeah.
And look what we've done in a month. Like, I'm not even going to say a year. 6 months. Your birthday?
Yeah.
This is going to be old news, because we're going to do big things within the next 6 months.
I agree. We got some big stuff.
And thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Hey, game recognized game, entrepreneur to entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Nothing feels better than to help someone get rise,
yeah,
right?
Thank
lift.
You.
And again, I always refer to the crabs in the bucket.
I was going to say,
right?
I'm a crab in the bucket. You threw the rope and I grabbed it.
I threw the rope and exactly.
I grabbed that shit.
Exactly. There we go. And that's what I tell people. It's like, you got to do your part.
Yeah.
I threw an opportunity.
You threw the rope.
And you grabbed onto it. And you said, motherfucker, I ain't letting go. And I'm like, hey, hold on. And I'm going to pull.
Yeah.
Right. When we help someone get out of that crabs in the bucket, that we hope that they pay it forward, just like I've, you know, done here,
100%.
is that we pay it forward and that we return that and help others get out. Unfortunately, some, not all, have other motives, right? You're never going to fish 100% out that great mindset. You're going to find that that one person that tastes a little bit of success and some power, that because they're insecure or their issues, their traumas, that they'll push the person or not.
Back
into the bucket. Fuck it. I mean, and so I got to stay far away from that bucket edge, because I don't want to get pushed back in. But I'm hoping that my instincts tell me that the people that I've helped and catapulted to other places in their lives, that they pay it forward and they continue to do good.
Yeah,
so,
that's
anyhow,
the goal for sure.
That's our goal. That's the goal here with this podcast as well, is that I want to be able to bring on some great guests, some people that have some specials, certain niches and all that other good stuff, and that they share their story and that this becomes their one of their platforms.
Exactly.
And you never know. I can't wait to, like you said, look back.
Yeah.
How many great conversations will have come out
exactly
of what we started.
I feel it. I know it. I know the energy in here is you, it's palpable.
Yes,
it is.
The building has some great energy. This building has been great to me, and it's got some great stories it's going to be sharing. So, anyways, I want to thank everyone again. Thank you for being here, guest number two, right? And executive producer of all my shows, so you're not going anywhere.
Nope. If you don't see me, I'm behind the camera,
yeah,
guys.
so the magic that you guys are going to see coming out of the show is not just because of me. It's because I have a great partner, a great producer, and a great team. So, again, it goes back down to, we're only as good as our team, so make sure that you recruit well and that you got, you know, you got a good team behind you. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we're good. Mauricio Mejia Live, season 3. Let's go.
Mauricio Mejia Live.